Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Once again, we come before you, exalt, give you all the praise, glory, and adoration. We seek knowledge, we seek wisdom, we seek understanding. Demand God for grace, for insight, revelation of your world, your mind, and your intent for each and every one of us. Thank you, Father, for understanding. Thank you for ears that will hear and understand. That, Lord, we might grow and become as you so ordained that we should be. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so again, we continue with our study on hearing the voice of God. And our main text remains John 10:27. John 10:27. And it tells you precisely, my sheep hear my voice, they know me. And I know them, the voice of strangers, they will not hear. And then 28 tells you that nothing shall be able to pluck them out of my hands. Amen? These are the key points in our text that we're dealing with. And today I just want to bring up two more points as well in relation to why we don't hear the voice of God. And then perhaps we'll go to some benefits of hearing the voice of God. But let me take a story to introduce how important hearing the voice of God is, how relevant it is if we can hear God's voice. Acts chapter 27, reading from verse number 14. Acts 27, reading from number 14. Hallelujah. Now, this is Paul when he had a shipwreck. The Bible said, but now, not long after there arose against it, a tempestuous wind called Euroclidon, that's arranged against the ship because of their journey, the wind. Verse 15, now when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. In other words, ship was going on its own, no more control. Verse 16, now running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. In other words, they were trying to see what they can do to salvage the boat. 17, which when they had taken up, they used up helps from the guiding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into a quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. Verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day, they lightened the ship, take away everything so that the ship can be free, as the case may be. And at the third day, we cast out with our own hands on the tacklings of the ship. Verse 22. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope, I want you to take this, note that, hallelujah, what happened? All hope that we should be saved was then taken away, the lost hope. And now you come to a situation in life sometimes where this becomes your story. Becomes your story. No more hope. Hallelujah. Because you've tried all you can, you've done the best you can, medically and otherwise. No solution, as it were. No more hope. But I want to assure you, if you truly understand who God is, and he has his word for you and his finger in your life, no matter the tempest, no matter the situation, I want to assure you that there is hope. Hallelujah. So verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye shall have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. You should have listened to me. And that's the point. Sometimes when ministers of God or counselors, in quote, talks to you, you probably sometimes will not take it serious. But I made it to understand the last time that sometimes when God wants to speak to you, he can use people to talk to you, especially his ministers. Amen. Paul advised his people, we can't sail. You see, God has a way of speaking to people. God has a way of showing his ministers and his servants things which will surely come to pass in a way. We should not sail, but we will not. Most probably, and like I know, because the owner of the ship needs some money. If the ship could sail, yeah, they're going to pay him. And that's business. So sometimes you discover that God uses people to direct you, to help you in your business situations, but you won't listen. Hallelujah. Verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. Hallelujah. Verse 23. For here is the key. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I serve, and who I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that are sailing with you, or that sail with you. There shall be no loss of any man's life, no matter how terrible the situation is. Why? Because by reason of you be in the boat, you become an anchor to everyone that is in that boat. You can be preserved just because of an individual's life. And that is what we don't know. That is why we jump from boat to boat, ship to ship. We don't even know those that God have really placed us into their system, but for their sakes alone, our life has been preserved. Look at that. I've given thee all men, or all of them that sail with thee, I've given them to you. There shall be no loss. Hallelujah. That's why we should be sensitive who God sends us to, because that's where our protection is. There's our deliverance is. Now, this is why you see, how many of you remember this story? David ran to Samuel, right? Prophet Samuel. Saul tried to kill him, he could not. Send a bunch of 50, send a categories of men to go get him arrested. They could not. Why? Just because he was under the covering of who? Of Samuel. Now remember, Samuel wasn't even praying or anything. Think about that. And guess what? Like I told you before, every one of them that went there with evil intention to arrest David, the end of prophesying. Remember that? Why? Because the atmosphere was completely prophetic. The Bible says, as long as Samuel was standing as ordained of God, even the Philistine could not come to Israel. Not to talk of Saul sending people to go and arrest David. They couldn't. So, as a matter of fact, you can discover that David's life was preserved in the hands of who? Of Samuel. And all these people that were in this boat with Saul, they were all preserved. Just because Paul, whichever way you want to call him, was right in the boat. Sometimes people you associate with They are your covering. They are your protection. It is not because you can pray very well. Remember the Bible says you've been going without food for so long. You call it fasting, whatever the case may be. He said, no. It's not because of what they've been doing. It's not because of anything. But are giving their lives to you. Everyone that sails on this boat are giving their life to you. So sometimes it's not your spiritual exercise that preserves you. It's your association. Who are you connected with? Amen. Praise God. Are we here? So you should be able to design. And that is very important. That's very important. And I'm just going to share something along that line. But let me mention that. You remember, this is the opposite of the case of Jonah. They're together. In the case of Paul, the people were preserved because of Paul. In the case of Jonah, the boat was going to be destroyed because of Jonah. Huh? Now, in any of these situations, especially the case of Jonah, if you like, go spend all your time fasting and praying, your boat will stick upside. The only way for you to get yourself saved is to cast Jonah out of your boat. Very simple. Allow Jonah to go on the mission. Praise God. Verse 25. Wherefore says, now Paul is speaking, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me, hearing the voice of God. Be of good cheer. I heard him told me that nobody is going to get lost as far as I'm in this boat. All lives have been given to me. Be of good cheer. You need to hear God's voice sometimes in very bad situations to give you courage, give you stability, give you hope, give you conviction. No matter how terrible and bad the situation could be, if only you can hear God speak to you about it, you're going to be cheerful enough. Be of good cheer. No man is going to die. The boat, just forget it. As long as I'm here, the angel in whom I am and whom I serve, the God in whom I am and whom I serve, I want you to see that. The God I belong to and the God that I serve told me, Paul, no man, as long as you are in that boat, are giving every life into your hand. Man shall be a shield and a protector to such that I have been ordained to be under his covering. Praise the living God. I wish you can learn some lesson from this. You understand that you don't underrate people. You don't reduce people's life. If God brings you into a relationship with people, you've got to be careful about it. You got to design. Hallelujah. So, this for me is a very wonderful illustration. And one of the things the Lord shared with me last week, I told you when the Lord said, today, read through the whole book of Acts. And for the whole day, started in the morning, down till the evening, I was able to cover the book in the midst of whatever thing I was supposed to do. And these are the things he pointed out. Because of the subject I was treating, and this ministers so strongly to me, makes me to think of my relationship with people that I'm supposed to associate with, that I'm not supposed to associate with. Because if you associate with the negative one, you're going to have the problem with Jonah. If you associate with the positive one, you're going to have salvation with Paul. Who has God given your life to? Or who has God given to you? Because of who you are and who you serve. Because I like what Paul said. The God whom I am and the God that I serve said to me those two things. Who do you belong to? And who do you serve? Meaning the one you belong to and the one you serve is supposed to talk to you. You're supposed to hear his voice. Hallelujah. Come on. Is anybody here with me? Hallelujah. Okay. So, again we go to Why we don't hear the voice of God? Mentioned about three last week, right? Idle heart, motivation, greed. Stagnation rather. Talk about stagnation, talk about greed. Remember that last week? Amen? All right. Okay, there we go. Rebellion, spirit of stagnation, idols of the heart. Mention that. These are the things that makes you not to hear God. And I give you scriptures for that. Is that okay? Hey, are we here? You're looking so quiet. Praise God. Glory. All right. So, today I'm going to do one of the reasons why you don't hear God is motivations. Motivations. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 22. I read from verse 1 to 10. Yeah, the Bible said, 1 Kings 22 from verse 1 to 10. Amen. Bible says, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And that was Ahab. And the king of Israel said unto his servant, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, will thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou, I'm a people as thy people, my what? Horses as thou, horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, of the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Remember, this is going to be Ahab now. Okay? And Jehoshaphat said, is there not there a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of? No, 400 prophets already. And Jehoshaphat is saying, can we still not get somebody else to talk to? Hallelujah. Okay, what's the next thing? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. He doesn't prophesy anything. I hate him. Praise God. And I like this king because he spoke his mind. No pretense. I hate him. And that's the problem. People who generally are good, we hate them. We always go for false people. We always go for deceptive people. 400 men against one. Hallelujah. Then the king of Israel called on officers and said, haste hither, Micaiah the son of Imlah. Go bring him here. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat on his throne, having put on their robes, in the void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Let's move on. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, made him horns of iron, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with thee thou shalt punish the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophet declared good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy words, I pray thee, be like the words of all of them, and speak that which is good. It's like this man knows also that Micaiah will not speak what the other prophet were going to say. Praise God. Okay. So look at that. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord said unto me, that will I speak. And he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hands of the king. This was mockery. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered up on the mountain, upon the hills, as sheep that have not sheep, a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, every man, to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he will not prophesy anything good concerning me, but evil? And he said, thou shalt hear for the word of the Lord. I saw the sitting of this throne. What is that? Hallelujah. You go now to verse 15. Now go down again to verse 23. You were supposed to be in 23. Anyway, you can stop there. That's the whole story anyway. Let's stop there. Now, motivations. Motivations. You can call it motive, but I'm looking at the word motivation. What motivates your actions, your desires? The king's motivation was completely wrong. Is that okay? Wrong motives. Completely wrong. Now, because of that, even when God is saying the truth, he couldn't say it. His judgment was corrupt already. He was biased about the prophet Micaiah. So that even when he's saying the truth, he can receive it. Remember, we're talking about hearing the voice of God. Praise the living God. So, he couldn't receive it. Why? Because he have wrong motive, bad motivation, fill his mind. So, when you're taking an action with wrong motivations, no matter what happens, even if God is speaking, you won't hear. You take what God says for evil. Praise the living God. You read now the story, you discover that they went to war. In fact, it was God that saved Jehoshaphat. They almost killed him, thinking that he was King Ahab, because he went to him. That's why association is also very important. You should mind who you associate with, like we said before. Jehoshaphat almost died because he associated himself with King Ahab in going to war. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? Okay, so what is your motivation in the things you do? I've always told people this. God may necessarily not judge your actions. He judged your motives why you took the action. Is that okay? Yeah. Most times, God's judgment is not because of your actions, but because of your motives. Because without motives, you can carry out the action. It's a good action, good motives. It's a bad action, bad motives. Your motivation is important in hearing the voice of God. It's not going to open you up to hear God. It's going to shield you away from hearing God. Yeah, Ahab couldn't hear God because he had a wrong motivation of going to war Ramoth Gilead. Praise the living God. He has got a 400 prophet. I was wondering the kind of large place all of them going to bold start prophesying, and they're all saying the same thing, because God has already helped to corrupt their mind. They can't see anything. Praise the living God. Are we together? So whatever thing you do, friend, check your motive. Whatever thing you do, even in statement are you uttering, check your motives. Because of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak. Check your motive. They make you not to hear God when God is talking. Even if your prophet is prophesying, you can't hear what God is saying because your motivation is wrong. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are we here? All right. So again now, let's get to another one. Next thing that will make you not to hear God is greed. Hallelujah. Greed. Go with me in the book of Numbers chapter 22. Amen. Come turn this fan a little bit. I'm hot. Numbers 22. We're going to look at verse number 9. Greed. Yeah, that's good. Let's forward a bit. Yeah. Okay. Numbers 22, verse number 9. Greed. This time, this is greed for promotion. This man, we're about to deal with a prophet. He's a known prophet of God. He wasn't a fake prophet. But greed made him that he could not do what he was supposed to do. He couldn't even hear God accurately anymore. Okay. Let's start from number 9. And God came unto Balaam and said, "What men are these with thee?" And Balaam said unto God, "Balak the son of Beor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, cause them for me. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out." So one of the things that curses does is to give victory to your enemy. Amen? Did you understand me? If you curse them, I'm going to go fight them. I'll defeat them. Understand that? Right. Okay. And God said unto Balaam, "Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." Oh, glory to God. That means he who is blessed can't be cursed. You need to understand it. That's why you don't have to be worried by what people think or do, because you are blessed in the name of the Lord. He who is blessed can't be cursed. It's not possible. That's why when I talk about no generational curses, people don't always understand me. They think I'm taking ministry away from people not to do deliverance. You can't be cursed once you are blessed. And you are blessed in the name of the Lord. So how can somebody curse you? Practically impossible. Oh, no. I wish people can understand scriptures. What's the next thing? And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the prince of Balak, "Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you." Hallelujah. God said, "I won't go with you." Okay, go ahead and see. And the prince of Moab rose up and they went unto Balak and said unto Balak, "Balak refused to come with us." And Balak said, "Yet again, princes more and more honorable than they." He said, different set of people. Maybe, let's just say, he sent some, how do I call these people now? They're not even up to counselors. Okay, he said counselors, right? Okay, they wouldn't come. So he decided to put some chairman of local government together. More honorable than the counselors. Is that okay? All right. So look at the next thing. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus said Balak son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto a very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people." And Balaam answered and said unto the servant of Balak, "If Balak will give me his heart full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." Because it was a good spirit, right? Okay, move on. Let's see. "Now therefore I pray thee, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me." What kind of nonsense is that? You already said just now, "Even if you give me everything, I will not do anything." Now you say, okay, just hold on. You see, I will promote you, I will honor you, whatever thing you want, I will do for you, has entered his head. Just hold on. Let me go to God. God will talk to me. Hallelujah. Okay, what's the next thing? And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to thee, rise up and go with them, but hear the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. Was God really intending Balaam to go? No. Hallelujah. Look at the next thing. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And the Bible says, and God's anger was kindled because he went. Can you see that? So when he said go, he didn't mean to say go. But since you think you want to go because of promotion, because of greed now, you go. Let me see. So sometimes when somebody says, okay, go ahead, that is not to say the person means you to say go ahead. It's not in support. Is that okay? When we see, when you pester people so much, I want to do this, I want to do that, person says, don't, you keep on coming. Okay, go ahead. That is not to say the person is willing to go with you. There's a big difference between go on and the mind of the person is what you want to do. Do you understand what I mean? God said, okay, go ahead. And next thing, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the anger of the Lord stood, angel of the Lord stood in the way for adversary against him. Now he was riding upon an ass, and his two servants were with him. Is that okay? What's the next thing? And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood on the path of the way, the vineyard, a wall behind, being on this side and a wall on that side. No space. Now the Bible says, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Now I like what the ass come to say now. Angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right nor to the left. And look at the next thing. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? What have I done? Did you get this now? What have I done? All these years I've been carrying you, you've been riding on me, have I treated you this way? In other words, certain obstruction and messages from God for you to know God is not ready for what you are doing. You see, when God said go, he prepared to obstruct his movement. He intend to use the delay or whatever maneuvering and problem that the earth was going to go through to send a message to Balaam that God is not interested in this journey. You see, it's like what people say. It's not biblical, but every disappointment is a blessing. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying here? What have I done? Look at the next thing. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would therefore hold a word in my hand, and for now I will have killed you. If I had a sword, I would have killed you. And the Bible says, and the ass said unto Balaam, am I not the ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. He answered yes and said, no, you haven't done it before. So is that not enough moment for you to realize that something actually is happening? So God speaketh one way or the other. Now this one way of speaking, the first time he spoke to him and said, don't go. And then when he got promotion presented to him, he went back to God to pester God. God and said, you go. He was not willing for him to go. But God intends to say, okay, I'm going to produce an obstacle on the way that will teach you, and for that obstacle, with that obstacle, you'll be realized that you are not allowed to go on this journey. Even in the midst of that, greed will not allow Balaam to recognize that God is saying, don't go. So, verbally, God said, don't go. Circumstantially, God said, don't go. But Balaam can hear. So, greed makes you not to hear God. Just because he said, if you come, I promote you honorably, I give you whatever thing you want, anything you want me to do, I will do. That's all. That changed every perception in the life of Balaam. Even after he said, hey, listen to me, even if you ask me to come, I can't do anything except what God asks me to do. But, okay, just hold on. Let me go to God. Let me see what he's going to ask me to do. You just made a statement. Can't you keep your words? Praise the living God. So this is what greed does to us. It changes our perception about the voice of God that we don't hear him. Even though Balaam was supposed to be a prophet of God that sees vision without closing his eyes. I mean, powerful, powerful man of God, in quote. But yet, he couldn't hear God. Why? Greed. Praise the living God. Come on, are we here together? Greed made it difficult and impossible that he could not hear where God is talking. May you not be so blinded, so deaf to the point that you can't hear God just because you are greedy in your spirit. It's a bad place to be as a child of God, that you can no longer assess the voice of God because you are greedy in your mind, greedy in your thought. You have greed that surpasses the entrance of God's voice to your mind. It's so bad a place to be. Wrong motivation was to kill Ahab. Greed messed up a whole prophet of God. And I'm sure we see seeing that today. Even in ministry, we see that today. Greed makes you not to follow the path that God has ordained for your life. On a personal level, the same thing as a child of God. Greed can make you not to be able to follow the path God has ordained for your life. You want to prosper. You want to have the best. But there's always a path God has ordained for you to go through. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. But a lot of people will not wait. No time to wait. They forgot to realize that God who always called, who has ever called, we always as well make provision no matter what the situation will be. But people will not want to wait for that. They want to become what they feel they should become. And if they have an association that can give them promotion, that can promise them whatever, yes, they want to go into it. You're not thinking about their tomorrow. You're not thinking about how God feels about what they have. The things they want to acquire, they're not thinking about how God feels about it. It's not about what you get. It's about what God, he said, the Bible said, the blessings of the Lord make it rich and it adds no sorrow to it. Ability to design what God does in your life is critical. So you don't follow all the promises that people will make unto you. Especially if you are a minister because of the grace you carry, and people want to make promises to you that you know this is going contrary away from. Let me give you another scripture on that before I tell maybe one of them for you tonight. Disadvantage of not hearing God. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse number 1. Let me show you. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dream and give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, therefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou have not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dream, for the word your God proveth you. Listen, the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. What's that? You got a prophecy. It came to pass. But the man that gave you the prophecies, is asking you to do what the word of God says you should not do. So it's not a matter of prophecy come to pass. It's a matter of, does the prophet align with the will of God? Say, God, allow the prophecy to come to pass just to prove you.
Hallelujah.
So it's not about the volume of prophecy, it's about the volume of, you know, what you call, and there's something very interesting here that I need you to pick. A prophet or a dreamer of dream means a dreamer of dream is equal to a prophet equal to a dreamer of dream. That is why I keep on telling you, you don't play with your dreams, you don't mess with your dreams. If you feel you are not a prophet, you could be a dreamer. Joseph was not a prophet, but was a dreamer, and he saw everything that God intended to become. The whole book of Daniel was written in dreams. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? So now, look at that. If there arise among you a prophet, a dreamer of dream, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, the miracle, whatever it is, sign and wonder, miracles, is that okay? Oh, come on. Verse number 2 again. Look at that. And the sign of the wonder come to pass, therefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Look at the next thing. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dream, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Hallelujah. And there's something he said we should do. Look at the next thing. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandment and obey his voice, and he shall serve him and cleave unto him. No matter what signs and wonder miracles anybody's performing, if it does not align with the mind of God, God is only allowing you to see those things, but to prove you whether you truly follow him. He just wants you to follow him. My sheep hear my voice, the voice of strangers, they will not hear. The prophets are bringing signs and wonders, they are also voice of strangers. Amen.
Praise the living God. Somebody give you a prophecy and then test you.
There was this a video now, something I was listening to. Now I was listening. And there is a lady that went to meet a prophet of God. And he's talking about getting married, right? And he said, okay, go and buy spray. But the one that the Hausa people, their Boki, produce, that's Sosorobia. So go buy that one and bring it. Pray for you. Put it in your body. You understand that? You'll be smelling, and then you're going to get favor. Be attracted to men to marry you. Stupid. How is Sosorobia going to make men come to marry you? Hallelujah. Are you there with me? We have series of things like that. Series of things like that. One was asked to go and buy a he-goat.
A lady wants to get married. When the prophet and said, I want to get married, so go and buy a he-goat. Right? So bought the he-goat, brought to the prophet, prayed on the he-goat, did whatever thing he needed to do. I don't know whether he killed the he-goat or what. He just saw the woman and said, listen, you know what? He-goat is always pursuing the other goat. You understand that? So now that you got the he-goat, you're going to have men to pursue you.
What is that in the word of God? Nonsense.
Amen?
Even if men actually start pursuing because of the he-goat, that is not the mind of God. Because he has shown you another way, which is not the way of the Lord. And he said he wants to prove you to know whether you will keep his word, whether you will fear him.
Hallelujah.
Whether you will obey what? His voice. And this is why it's important. Hearing the voice of God. That means if you hear, he can hear the voice of God, no prophet can deceive you. No dreamer or dream can deceive you. Are you getting the implication there? He wants to know. So, no matter what prophecies or whatever, even if the sign comes to pass and you are the one that have always been hearing the voice of God, you will know that this is not God's mind for me, even though the prophecy is coming to pass. You will know. Praise the living God. Are we here? So, one of the things again that you can add to that that makes you not to hear the voice of God is to follow signs and wonders. Did you see that? When you put your faith on signs and wonders, you can't hear God's voice. Because even when He speaks, the signs and wonder obliterate that voice. So the signs and wonder come to pass, but that is not the voice of God. He said, I was thinking. I'm just proving you. If you can follow my voice, if you can hear my voice, if you can understand my voice, if you can fear me and keep my commandment, allow the signs and wonders to come to pass. But that is not my mind for you. My voice is enough for you to know that this one is not of God. So one of the things that makes you not to hear God accurately is when you're running after signs and wonders and miracles. Instead of the sign following, you're following the signs. These signs shall follow them. But we turn it around now. We are looking for signs everywhere. How can you hear God? Praise God. So, you see, this is a major, major factor why so many of us can't hear God. Because we're looking for signs and wonders. We're looking for miracles. Instead of just allowing God to talk to us. Praise the living God. What pains me is, God is intending and always wants you to hear Him. But we have put on so many idols, so many circumstances, situations before Him that we can, even when He's talking, we can hear Him. And this is one of them. Looking for signs and wonders and miracles. Makes you not to hear God for yourself. When God is talking, you can hear Him. Amen? And the next thing that's going to happen, if it is not God, why did this miracle come to pass? Amen. So you're proving that it is God because the miracle did what? Come to pass. No! That the miracle come to pass doesn't mean it's God. He said He can just allow it just to prove you. What God's interested in for you to keep His commandment, for you to fear Him, for you to obey what? His voice. So let me just take this one scripture and then we'll close for today. The disadvantages of not hearing God. Hallelujah. Number one, the spirit of slavery. Spirit of slavery. Praise the Lord. Look at Exodus 19, verse number 20. Or if you want to, we may not be able to take this. But if you read Exodus 19, that's chapter 19 to chapter 20, you understand what I'm trying to say. There the scripture says, whatever you ask us to do, we will do. Did you get that? Right. And so God now gave them the laws. Remember that? That's my Sinai. From chapter 19, the people said, whatever you ask us to do, we will do. And that's what we do in church when we talk about getting married. The whole concept of I will do or I do is coming from Exodus chapter 19. Israel was to be married to God. God was the husband. And Israel said, anything you say, we will do what? We will do. So that is the I do. That's where it came from. Are you getting that? Okay, now. By the time He said that and I gave them the laws, it's Exodus 20. So let me show you the corresponding scripture to that. Romans chapter 8 verse 15. What did I say? I say you're going to receive the spirit of slavery. How many of you remember? He gave them the law. The Bible says, because it was thundering and lightning or whatever, and they said, don't talk to us. Talk to Moses. Let Moses talk to us. Remember that? In other words, we don't want to hear you. We can hear Moses, but we don't want to hear you. So, if you don't hear God, you become a slave. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received, now he's speaking to the New Testament saints. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, that is the spirit of slavery. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. The spirit is a bearer witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. That's the corresponding thing. So when you say you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, it's referring to Exodus 19. When the people were afraid and they said, don't talk to us because of the lightning and the thundering. Is that okay? Talk to Moses. Let Moses talk to us. They became afraid. They became slaves. Now they can't hear God for themselves. So one of the major disadvantages that you encounter or walk with when you don't hear God is that you operate the spirit of slavery instead of the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. Being the children of God, we can talk to our Father. I keep on telling you that. When you pray, you can just talk to your Father in a very simple way. Amen? In a very simple way. I'll share it with them in Abuja. You're sweating, like I said the other day, you're sweating does not mean God is going to approve what you are sweating for. If you like sweat, Jesus sweated in Gethsemane. God did not change his mind. The cup you must bear. How many of you remember that? That, remember, he was the son. He cried. The Bible said the sweat from his body were like drops of blood. And he was like, was going to faint. But God did not change his mind. The cross you must go. God said, if it's your will, take this cup from me. God is not, it's not my will, so I'm not taking it. If you like, sweat. He's not going to change his mind. His will is his will. That's why if we pray according to his will, he heareth us. If Jesus sweat, so much sweat, and God did not change his mind, what makes you think your sweat is going to change the mind of God for what he has in mind for you? It's not going to change it. Why did he? But did he answer Jesus? Sure he did. How did he answer it? He sent an angel to go and help him. Go support him so that he doesn't die here. He's not going to die here. Go and help him. So he sent angels to go and help him so that he can find his way to Jerusalem. Your sweat doesn't change the mind of God. Prayer is simple. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven. Simple. Talk to God like you can talk to anybody else. That's why he said, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. If my child is coming to collect school fees from me, I'll be crying for me or to me every now and then. I wonder if I'm going to answer that child. Unless you're trying to prove to me that I'm a poor person. That's why you start crying. You're crying because you feel like I can't meet your school fees. But if I'm a wealthy man, you know your school fees amounts to nothing to me. Why must you cry? You only just remind me it's time for school fees. And that's prayer. Petition, request. It's time for school fees. Amen. And then I give it to you because it's right there in my bank account. God is so rich that your tears is not what pull from God what he needs to give to you. Let him know your need. For my God shall supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will supply. Praise God. So write your needs. He didn't say present your tears. Write your needs. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Write your needs to him. He will supply your need according to riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not your tears. Your tears are not going to solve any problem. Jesus wept, but nothing happened. The only time he wept in the book of John was because of the unfaithfulness of the people. It breaks the heart of God that his children can believe him, can trust him. That's what makes Jesus wept. So, one of the things that happen to you when you're not hearing the voice of God is that you become a slave, even in your father's house. You can be having anything that he wants to give to you, but you are operating from the realm of slavery, spirit of bondage. Praise the living God. And may that be far from your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Just because you have received the spirit of adoption from this day, may you be able to access God's throne to meet every need in the name of Jesus Christ. And let no spirit of fear dominate your life anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. I demand that you operate from the realm of being a son and be free to talk to your father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.